I don't know about you, but all my life, at the television news, when you turn it on, and it all seems yuck. I don't think I can say it any other way. It's yuck. You know, and we can get so downhearted, so fearful, confused, angry, whatever. It all looks as if everything's going awry, you know. We look, and, you know, at the minute, I don't think I can point to one nation where I think, oh, my word, do you need the Lord, you know. And it's, oh, awful, 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 awful. But I want us to be reminded of summer today. God wants to remind us, pray that we... And I've got a quote here from Dr. David Jeremiah. He's from America, and he's a teacher, Bible teacher. And he says this: when disturbing news breaks in our world, remember, the Most High rules over the affairs of men. Yeah? The Most High rules over the affairs of men. God's plans will not be thwarted. I want us this morning to think about the sovereignty of God. And a couple of weeks ago, I was seeing, it was John Hartley, and he actually spoke on God's sovereignty. And now it should make us be, you know, to have that holy boldness because of God's sovereignty. But I'm coming from a sort of a different slant on it, because we've got to know it, not just with our heads, but know it in our hearts. When we see and hear all this disturbing news, and, you know, we seem to be seeing one thing after another, don't we? I mean, I don't know about you, but I still think those families who lost children in the Texas floods. Well, you know, at that camp, that, you know, send your kids away. And them having a lovely time, and then that happened. You know, we reel, don't we, when we see stuff like that? And then this accident with the coach, with all them children. And then, but there's been other stuff, ain't there, where, and you look back, what on earth is happening? And I've been reminded about that, I think it was Southport, where those little girls were at a dance studio, and somebody got in, and three of them were killed. Three beautiful little girls. And, you know, we can look at all this and we think, oh, my word, what's happening? But whatever man does, God will have the last word. His plans will not be thwarted. And I want us to look at one or two places in the Bible where man has thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to start at the beginning. It's something I haven't heard of for ages. I'm going to start with this one, and it's the Tower of Babel. I've never really thought much about that. But when you go into Genesis and you see that, and what it's all about really is man has decided he's going to go it alone without God. What they're going to do, they're going to build this high tower that will reach to heaven. You know, we're going to be we don't need God. It doesn't actually say that, but you can almost see it here when it says, as people moved eastward and they settled. And it says, they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Hey, can you see that today? So that we can make a name for ourselves. Yeah? But God had the last word. He came down and everybody was speaking the same language, but he confused them. Not out of pettishness or nothing like that, but we were born to be in relationship with God, and they were going it alone. So God had the last word. Then we look a bit further into Genesis, and we read about Joseph. Joseph. Now, when we read about Joseph, we know for a fact his brothers did not like him. They didn't like him. And to be honest, when I think about Joseph, I think, well, you know, it's a little bit understandable. Because if you think about it, if you read about Joseph, he was his father's favourite. And his father let that be known. Joseph was, Joseph's my favourite. Had him a lovely coat made. Lovely. But to top it all then, Joseph tells his brothers that they are going to bow before him. So can you imagine how they felt? Eh? Can you imagine how they felt? So to cut the story short, what they did, they sold, well, they wanted to kill him really, but one of the brothers stopped him. He says, let's sell him into slavery. That's a better option. So they sold him into slavery. And they actually, they got this coat, covered it in animal's blood, and they told his dad that he was dead. I mean, wow. Told his dad he was dead. But after a good many years, Joseph, and he went through a lot of tough stuff in the time. He went from good to bad, good to bad, good things happened, then he was in prison, this, that and the other. But in the end, he was almost, he was only, the Pharaoh was the only one up from him. He was in charge of Egypt because there'd been a famine, but Joseph had saved him, you know, the seed, getting seed. He'd saved the seed from when it was there was plenty and now there was a famine. And Joseph was in charge of that. And his brothers went up to Egypt and then his dad went. So there was a reunion. There was a reunion. And then after a while, Joseph's dad died. And the brothers, well, they were a bit afraid. They thought, well, now dad's gone. What's Joseph going to do? Is he going to remember what we did to him? Selling him into slavery. Is it gone through all that? And this is what they said. What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong things we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came down, threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. See, Joseph's brothers, all they wanted was to get at him, to get at him. But it wasn't going to stop God's plans. In fact, it helped because God had the last word. God will have his way. And then we can just turn a page to Exodus chapter 1, and we read about there how all the Israelites and Egyptians that knew about Joseph saving them will have all died now. And there's new Egyptians, new Pharaoh. And they can see that the Israelites, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And they said, we can't have this. We're going to be overwhelmed. And so what they decreed was that all the little boys, Israelite babies that were born, were going to be slaughtered. That'll stop them. That'll stop them. We didn't matter about the girls, but the boys, that'll stop them. But Moses was saved. Moses was saved to do great things, to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. God will have his way. God will have his way. And we read in the book of Esther as well. Now, it doesn't actually mention God in the book of Esther. But when we read it, we read about a man called Haman. And he was quite a horrible person. And he wanted to get rid of Mordecai because he was a Jew. And Haman wanted to get rid of all the Jews. And so the top and bottom is that he had it in mind that Mordecai would be executed. But in the end, it was Haman who was impaled on a pole that had been meant for Mordecai. God would have his way. God is on the throne. He is sovereign God. And in the Psalms, in Psalm 99 and verse 1, it says this. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. And in Psalm 103, verse 19, it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And if you're in any doubt at all, let's look at Revelation 4. This is John speaking. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under its wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. God is sovereign. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And understanding, if we can just grasp hold of this and understand that God is sovereign, we won't quake so much when we see on the television what's happening in this world and around us and in this nation. How the nations, this world, so much is going against what God says, His word, His truth. But we can know that He is sovereign and He reigns supreme. And you know, this will be our peace. It'll be a peace to us. But this is on the world stage. How about our lives? Stuff happens. Stuff happens that can rock us, that can make us reel. You know, stuff happening in families when loved ones, young people, are taken so quickly. Stuff happens, it can knock us. We see people struggling. How about God is sovereign? You know, understanding that God is sovereign, we'll reverence Him, we'll be in awe of Him. It says in Proverbs 9, verse 10, that the fear of the Lord brings wisdom and understanding of who God is. Yeah? It's not a fear that makes us quake in our shoes, but it's one that's awesome. How awesome is God? You know, I've not heard this for a long time, but there used to be a phrase, wasn't there? God-fearing Christians. Do I hear it now? And it's not saying God-fearing Christians in the sense of frightened and stuff like that. God-fearing Christians is being in awe of who God is reverencing Him, being humble before Him. You know, so often, and we know that God is with us by His Holy Spirit, but so often we want to bring Him down to our level. But God is greater than us. He's greater than us. He's awesome God. So we need understanding that God is sovereign. We will be in awe of Him. We will reverence Him. And we'll recognize His holiness, His power, His authority. Understanding that God is sovereign also, we'll respond to Him in obedience. You know, reverence, it promotes obedience, because Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And in 1 John 5:3 it says, For this is love, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Jesus just said, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself. And if we think about this, that is the Ten Commandments. Because the first so many are about reverencing God, honouring God, loving God. And then the rest are loving other people. You know, we won't commit murder. We won't steal, we won't be jealous, we won't be envious, we won't commit adultery, because we're loving the Lord our God with all of our hearts, and we are loving our neighbours as ourselves. So we've got, you know, we'll reverence him. So that reverence will be obedient, and then we will worship him, whatever the situation. You know, in the Old Testament, we read about David. And David, he was so desperate to build the temple. But God, he had other plans. He says, no, you will not be building the temple. Your son will build the temple. Now, remember that David really wanted to do this. He said, you know, I live in a house, I live in a harem, and God is only in a tent. God should have a building. But he wasn't to build the temple. But do you know, and I find this really humbling, even though he wasn't going to be doing that, David, he sorted out the finances for it. And he sorted out the builders, the craftsmen and all that. He sorted it out for Solomon to build the temple. And he says this, the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced greatly. Now he'd wanted to do something, but God had said no. But he was still rejoicing, David. And he says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. And we get the picture here, don't we, that David understood that. Whatever was happening, still God was sovereign. God was ruler over all. We sing, don't we? Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be glory, honor, and praise. And we also sing, Jesus, we enthrone you. Do we? We sing it. Jesus, we enthrone you. And that's where we need to get to, isn't it? God is supreme in our lives. Yeah? He is sovereign, not just in the world, sovereign in our lives. You know, we do go through stuff we'd rather not go through. We go through good times as well. But we go through stuff that we'd rather not go through. In the good days and the bad days, he is still Lord and King. And I think perhaps knowing this helps us more to understand that Romans 8:28, when it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Let the people know. Don't be embarrassed about it when you see stuff happening, saying, but I know the one who's in charge, and the one who is in charge is coming back. He's coming back. And he ain't coming back on a donkey. He's coming back on a white horse. And we're going to know about it because it says in the Bible, it's going to be loud. There's going to be trumpets sounding. And every eye will see him. And then people are going to humble themselves before him when they know and understand God is sovereign. Whatever we might be going through as people, individuals, churches, nation, God is sovereign. And that's why in Lamentations that writer could say, and yet I say this, that God is my hope. Amen.